Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On October the 15th, 2001, Doug Flutie and the 3-1 Chargers would travel to Foxborough to take on a 1-3 Patriots team that had lost Drew Bledsoe, Bill Belichick a bit on the hot seat, and a young kid named Tom Brady taking over the reins. The voice of the Chargers that day was Ted Leitner, the longtime voice of the San Diego Padres and San Diego State Aztecs. And he joins us on the show this morning. Ted, good morning.
DA, how are you?
I'm doing great. On October the 14th, 2001, we had a great one. That season was so interesting for the Chargers. In the offseason, there was a change at the GM position as John Butler was hired away from Buffalo. Bunch of Bills players came to the Chargers organization, including Doug Flutie, who was battling for a position with Rob Johnson with the Bills and became the starter in San Diego. On top of it, an incredible draft as well with two future Hall of Famers for the Chargers. What was the sense that offseason going into September 2001?
I tell you, it was great. It was incredible excitement. There was something about Flutie. I don't know. Pound for pound, this is one of the greats of all time. But there was something from the standpoint of leadership and that you're never out of a game. Because I can remember a game either the year before or 2 years before. We'd gone to Buffalo, and Doug had been backing up for that particular moment, though he started a bunch that particular season for the Bills. But he came off the bench in, like, the middle of the third quarter. Chargers had a nice two-touchdown lead, and it was gone. It was gone, and they went up and down the field, and Flutie was unbelievable in the crowd. You know how large that place is up there at Orchard Park. It's 80,000. They're going just crazy. And the Chargers, who had a pretty good team, I mean, one of the better defenses for the last several years, including that game in New England in 01, it was a big deal to get Doug Flutie. And as you said, it's a much bigger deal for Doug Flutie to come back, you know, to New England, where he had played for 3 years. Now he's coming back, and he really is the big story. It's not Tom Brady. Now that's bizarre.
It really is. That draft also for the Chargers, LaDainian Tomlinson with their first round pick, Drew Brees with their second round pick. Mm-hmm. But this is before Brees was going to start. So Flutie is the starting quarterback, and Mike Riley is the head coach. That year, the Chargers begin the season 3-0. Beating Washington opening weekend, at Dallas as well after the September 11th layoff, and then beating the Bengals. They are 3-0. They lose a tight one against the Browns, but they're 3-1 before they're going to New England against a skidding Patriots team that had lost Drew Bledsoe in week number two, and Bill Belichick, this sounds crazy, was getting to become on the hot seat. What was the sense around the Chargers at 3-1? Feeling pretty good about the season going to New England?
Big time. Big time. And like I said, you know, Flutie is the kind of guy that had, at that time, the magic that Brady was going to have. In fact, Brady had, you know, later in that ballgame to lead him. And they had lost, the Chargers had lost that game in Cleveland. Never forget that Dean Spanos had come in on his private jet. And in the fourth quarter against Cleveland, the same thing. This club had maybe the number one defense in the AFC, the Chargers, third, fourth, something like that in the NFL. And I remember another one, another long drive another long drive by Cleveland. Chargers had played extremely well, had a lead, lost that lead. And I remember about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, because I had come with Dean Spanos. He had asked me and my partner, Hank Bauer, former Charger special team star, to come with him on the plane, not the team charter, but on his plane. And at about the 4 minute mark remaining, I saw a private jet fly above Cleveland going over the stadium. I thought, hey, there goes my ride. What's going on here? That's exactly what happened. Is that another drive, even with a great defense with Junior Seau and Rodney Harrison, now a broadcast star on Sunday nights and all that stuff. And Dino's out of here, and there goes the plane. I'm on the team charter. But they had that. For having a good defense, they kept letting up that one big last drive that cost them. It cost them in Cleveland, and because of this guy, number 12, who became Tom Brady that day, it happened again in New England.
Ted Leitner was on the call for the Chargers radio broadcast October 14th, 2001. To that point in time, Tom Brady had gotten a couple of starts. He came in for the injured Bledsoe, but it was nothing crazy. In fact, they had lost a couple of those games, so nobody really knew what Brady was. As you mentioned, everybody knew what Doug Flutie was, and he was returning back to New England, where he was a star at BC, a Natick, Massachusetts native, and this was the biggest homecoming ever, that Flutie was probably, at the point in time in his career, this was his last swan song at old Foxborough Stadium in New England. What was it like being in the stadium that day? Perfectly crisp. I think it was, what I'm looking at, a day in the high 50s. Foliage is starting in New England. It's perfect football weather. And here comes Doug Flutie back with a 3-1 team.
Yeah, a few things I remember about that. I'm from the East Coast, but I've been in San Diego since 1978. And I take my girlfriend on this trip. And on Dean's plane and so forth, and we're going there, and I'm all excited because the thing I miss the most is the leaves, like you said, turning. And they're fresh out of turning in San Diego. It just seems when it goes from 72 to 73, the leaves don't turn very much in San Diego. So for a year round, so I'm thinking, hey, we're going to go. I'm going to watch the foliage. So we rent a car and we drive around, but it had been really warm in September. So unfortunately for me, it didn't turn. The leaves didn't turn till later on, about a week or two later. It was an odd kind of a deal in New England. And we're on a Mass Turnpike. We're almost all the way to Western Massachusetts. Can't find any leaves. No, we'll find them. Trust me. And she's from Spokane, Washington. And would love to see the leaves turn. We can't find it. So we finally give up after like 4 hours of driving around. The leaves have not turned yet. So now I say to her, well, I'll tell you what. We came here for leaves. There's no leaves. But this game ought to be a good game. I hope it was beyond a good game. It was a Brady game against Flutie. Back and forth. Chargers are down at halftime. They come back, and it goes back and forth. And it goes to overtime. And it was simply amazing. I was not. None of us were just, oh, gosh. We were glad to see this guy, Tom Brady, out of Michigan. And, hey, Bledsoe's down. Bledsoe Flutie, I don't remember. I looked up last night. I tried to find it, D.A., and I couldn't find who was favored in the game. But with the Patriots having lost a couple of ball games, I really think, even going to New England, that the Chargers were slight favorites in this game. It's Flutie against his backup, this guy from Michigan. And, you know, it wasn't the kind of hype we had now with Tua and Cam Newton and guys like that in recent times. This was a quarterback, a sixth rounder, not a first rounder, no hype from Michigan, though an excellent player and a national champion in Michigan. But there was not the hype. We thought, hey, we got Flutie. They got Tom Brady, the backup. We're feeling good about this and feeling good, like you asked, about the season. Didn't turn out that way.
This is why you're a legend, Ted, because I've got the line in front of me. Chargers favored by 3 in this game on
Son
the road
gun.
In Foxborough. So you're absolutely right on.
I knew it.
Yeah, absolutely. And in this game, the Chargers, it's a 3-3 game. The Patriots get a touchdown from Brady to Terry Glenn. They go up by 6 as the extra point fails. It's 9-3. Chargers come back. They score the next 10 points. Wade Ritchie field goal. LaDainian Tomlinson goes in from 1 yard. It's 13-9. Back come the Patriots. Antoine Smith goes in. 16-13 Patriots. Back come the Chargers as Flutie gets a touchdown pass. And so it's back and forth, as you said. Was it an exciting game to be a part of, calling this back and forth game in the middle of this NFL season?
Great game. It was just simply a great game. And they were there playing a lot of great games early on in that season. And they had not been to the playoffs. And it really, really was. And I remember, I think it was the last year of Foxborough. And that the Gillette has it open. Because I remember the construction of the new stadium just yonder over the over the end zone there, and it was just so loud. Like you said, it's a beautiful fall day. It's the Patriots, and eventually, as you know, they went to become a Super Bowl team that year. But going back and forth, and you mentioned Antoine Smith. You know what I remember about that 1 yard run is that Junior Seau hit him so hard at the line of scrimmage, I thought he had cracked his helmet, because Junior, in his office at Seau's restaurant, I went up there to have lunch with him one time. And honestly, it was after he'd driven his SUV off the cliff, and we had no idea of the circumstances of that. He said he was on some medicine. He got dizzy. He fell asleep. And he was telling me that story, and I'm like guys do. It comes back to haunt me. I'm telling him that, you know, I'm saying, hey, June, hey, nice driving, June. Way to go. Hey, my daughter's going to be driving soon. Would you give her lessons? That kind of back and forth like guys do. And we didn't know that was a suicide attempt. But on his desk at Seau's, the restaurant, as they called it, was a Charger helmet cracked in two. Right down the middle, we're in a practice against Freddie McCray, the lead blocker, fullback for the Chargers. They went helmet to helmet in the A-gap, and boom, they both cracked their helmets. That's how Junior played. That was yet another concussion, and that's how he hit Antoine Smith. And still, Smith got in, and they got that touchdown. And this was, you know, in the fourth quarter, eventually the Chargers had a 10-point lead in this game with like 9 minutes to go. Tom Brady.
Yep, exactly right. Ted Leitner joins us. Longtime San Diego legendary broadcaster was on the call as the Chargers met the Patriots in 2001. This was the first year Brady was a starter. In this game, the Chargers go up because the punter of the Patriots, Lee Johnson, gets the snap. He's about to punt from inside deep in his own end, and the Chargers are coming. He thinks it's going to be blocked because Derek Harris is bearing down on him. So Lee Johnson pulls back from punting, holds the ball away from his body, and it's knocked away. Harris grabs it, rolls into the end zone from 6 yards out. This is with about 8 minutes to play, 10-point lead on the road. It seems like the Chargers are going to win this game. Do you remember thinking, oh my gosh, what a boneheaded move by Lee Johnson?
That's it. And I'll tell you what, Harris made a really, really terrific play. And I know you've seen that highlight and you watched the game. And it just, he's down, he knocks it. They both go down, and the ball's away. Harris gets up again, reaches out, grabs the ball, and goes in, whatever it was, 7 yards or so for a touchdown. And I thought, okay, it's over. That's it. 9 minutes left. Chargers lead 26-16, and they're going to win the ball game and beat New England in New England. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a nice ride home. Nice ride home. And I obviously do not see a jet, private jet, going above. You know, Dino is not leaving. He is not leaving. He's having a great time in the skybox with Susie and the rest of the family, and John Butler, who you mentioned, by the way. And that's a memory I have, DA, of this game afterwards. I'm not on the post-game show, so we throw it back to San Diego, and Hank Bauer is involved with the post-game show, the analyst there with them back in the studio, and I'm going downstairs, and I go in the locker room, and John Butler, after this eventual overtime loss, is kicking stuff all over the locker room, just throwing a fit, as in we had him. And John was a very, very easygoing guy, but then other times he was not. And you mentioned John, may he rest in peace, and he was absolutely beside himself that they let this game get away after the aforementioned 10-point lead.
They're up 10. The Patriots come down the field. They end up kicking a field goal 3.5 to play. They got to get the ball back. They do get the ball back. They're still down a touchdown. At this point is when Brady magic happens. Tom Brady had not thrown for 300 yards yet in his NFL career. On this day, he would throw for 364. He leads the team down the field, and from 3 yards out, there's a little bootleg waggle. He fakes like he's going to run it and then throws it over the defense to an open Jermaine Wiggins in the end zone. Tie game, 36 seconds left. We're going to overtime. What did you think about young Tom Brady at that point leading his team back like that?
It was Tom Brady. I mean, it was vintage Tom Brady. Every time, you know, later on, then of that 20-year career, they would have it on the television screen. How many times? Okay, here it comes. How many drives in the final minutes of the fourth quarter plus overtime that Brady has had. That's where it started. The game you're talking about right here, that's where that magic started, and it did not go away. And we're thinking, well, man, Flutie against Brady. I'll take Flutie anytime. And all pumped up, his family's there. He's back in New England after BC and all that. And Brady was magic, absolutely magic, like he'd started for maybe 5-6 years at that time. And he certainly had not, like you said, because he'd been the backup. And all of a sudden, he's the guy beating out Henson, I guess it was, at that time. And he was simply cool and calm as can be. And a great game continued. It had to be. Goes to overtime.
Yep, the Patriots end up kicking the game-winning field goal in overtime. Talk about opening it up. Belichick allowed Brady to throw 54 times in this game.
Right.
As a kid that had never started before that season, was only the starting quarterback for 3 weeks, and they were 1-3 at the time. He let Brady throw 54 times that day. As I mentioned, 364, two touchdowns, no picks, and the win. Now, this is a great fork-in-the-road moment in NFL history, because the Patriots, with a loss in this game, would have dropped to 1-4. And who knows? The season's probably over at that point in time. The Chargers had come in 3-1. The Patriots end up going to 2-3, getting to 500, ending up going 11-5, and winning the Super Bowl in 2001. The Chargers, who had began 3-1, and then I believe were 4-2, if I'm not mistaken, in that season. 5-2,
right.
Rather. They were 5-2.
Right.
They would lose that game against the Patriots, but then end up winning the next two. At 5-2, they don't win again. They end up from 5-2 to 5-11. Was there any after effect of losing that Patriots game?
You know, if you, because we're talking about Brady. We're talking about Brady magic. We're talking about number 12 becoming number 12 and on his way to the Hall of Fame. And I honestly believe the Chargers season ended that day based on their confidence, based on all the magic of Flutie. Because I tell you what, as you mentioned, Flutie was like 20 of 32. He was terrific in the ball game. But Brady, like you said, threw 22 more passes, and the Patriots had 20 more plays. But the Chargers go in there, you know, going west to east. Not easy to do. They turned it over but one time on the Chargers on a fumble. And we're thinking, hey, what a great game. Another close loss after Cleveland. And I thought, like you said, they went downhill after that, and the Brady magic was there. And we were, you have to understand, you know, back in 98, we're talking Ryan Leaf and that draft pick and quarterback and setting the Chargers back, you know, 5-7 years, whatever it was, with that pick. And when you pick Ryan Leaf over Peyton Manning, now all of a sudden you got Doug Flutie as an interim kind of a veteran in there, and you're rolling. You got a playoff kind of a team. And it did not happen. It was a huge, huge loss.
Ted Leitner. Hopefully soon he's going to be back on Padres broadcast. Hopefully we'll have some baseball coming up here not too long from now. He's also the voice of the San Diego State Aztecs as well. You can follow him on Twitter at Ted Leitner, as baseball hopefully is just around the corner. Ted, this was so much fun to go back and talk about this game. I thank you so much for being part of it today.
I appreciate it very, very much. It was, you took me back. I totally forgot about the game, and you brought me back there. I was much younger, and it was an incredibly, incredibly exciting fall Sunday.
Thanks so much, Ted. Great to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Back at you, DA, anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.